Well, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone has marked themselves safe from chloroquine, quin, or fish cleaner, or bleach, or whatever the hell the media is telling you that Trump said you should take for coronavirus.
You know, that's a very much a I can see Russia from my house kind of thing.
Yep.
Because yep. Trump never, not once, said anything about injecting anything into people. I saw the press conference.
Yeah. But if you look at every single headline, it's Trump suggests. It's says. They can't quote. It's he suggests, which everyone immediately runs with as this is exactly what he said verbatim. You know, you've got Joe Biden talking about his leg hair, but you know. Yeah. Oh goodness.
Yeah, one of the policy science wonks had just gotten through giving a long presentation about studies they've done about how long the virus lives on different surfaces and under direct sunlight and in high humidity and heat. And Trump was like, oh, that's interesting. You should investigate how, you know, sunlight and disinfectant works on people or, you know, something like that. I mean, it was totally and then suddenly that becomes, you know, Trump said inject bleach into yourself.
And of course, you know, the FDA, the CDC was immediately like, oh, no, don't inject yourself with bleach, which is good advice. You know, it's like, don't hit yourself with a hammer. You know, it's one of those. If you
that's
really
always been
be
the
told,
rule, though. Don't drink bleach.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, like I'm seeing things pop up on Facebook like, no, don't tell people not to drink bleach. This is a self-correcting problem. Yeah. this will take care of the stupid people. This is Darwin, folks. Do not thwart Darwin. He will not be denied.
It's like that infographic you see every now and then that's like, don't mix these cleaners together.
I'm like, that's a handy dandy chart. I want to keep that line. I'm going to keep that handy.
I saved it. Yeah. Hell yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, if I ever need to make chlorine gas, I know what common household cleaners to mix.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my World War I trench on.
Man, Skype is really causing problems.
Really bad tonight.
Must be. We should Zoom instead.
Nope.
Not Zooming. Nope. Nope.
I learned today that some of the librarians at work are having Zoom dance parties together. The thought of that makes me want to kill myself.
is this like the celebrities doing
I'm
your
glad
TikTok
I'm not
dancing?
I guess. I'm glad I'm not an extrovert if that's what's required.
What the
seriously?
Hell?
What? Right? Yeah. These are the people I work with.
Oh, my God.
If for no other reason, I want everything to get back to normal just so I can stop being lectured by the celebrities. If I see Oprah fucking Winfrey tell me I should stay at home one more time, I'm going to blow my fucking lid. Like, I'll tell you what. How about if we switch bank accounts? I would gladly stay home for the rest of my fucking life if I had billions of dollars in the bank and a 15,000 square foot mansion to live in.
Yeah, that's
right. I would never leave. I would become Howard fucking Hughes and wear tissue boxes on my feet.
Yeah, that whole Instagram, Twitter thing that celebrities, you know, sitting on their yacht or sitting in their mansion or whatever, you know, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together. Meanwhile, I have people go to Whole Foods to shop for me. So
I mean,
I think the best one was, you know, Nancy Pelosi standing in front of her $24,000 refrigerator with her $12 a pint ice cream saying, let me eat cake.
Crazy.
Yes.
Jenny's ice cream is the ice cream I go and I see it at the grocery store and I look at it and I think, oh my God, those flavors look so incredible. And then I look at the price and I'm like, nope. I'm never tasting that ice cream.
What is in this shit? Fucking truffles and caviar?
I don't know. They have, it's all like handmade and fancy schmancy or I don't even know. But you know,
I don't know. I was watching that video and I'm like, I cannot believe this is real and not something from the Babylon Bee. Yeah, that not only did Nancy Pelosi think this was a good idea, but there was an entire production crew, which leads me to believe that some of her staff were involved. And does anybody say, 26 million people are out of, and you're in front of a freezer that costs more than most, than a good number of those people make in a year?
AJ.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Like, hang up and try again.
Oh, no.
We're getting
like every other word we're losing.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll cut out and then you can add me back in. Let's try that.
Is Jay in his basement?
I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
I'm trying to wrap my head around. Are you still recording? Oh, I'm trying to wrap my head around a $24,000 refrigerator. Like, what does it do? Does it cook the food for you?
No.
Because I don't know.
I joined with video. That was frightening.
Woo.
I'm sorry if I scared you folks.
I didn't see that.
Thank God.
Oh, you sound a lot better.
It doesn't matter. I'm wearing clothes. Yeah. Did. And then it immediately died.
So, Jay, on the days that you have to work from home, do you get up, take a shower, get dressed?
I get up. I shower after I work out. I mean, there's kind of no point in that. But no, I don't bother getting dressed. I have sweatpants on and a t-shirt. I'm not going to dress up to go downstairs into my office. I'm clothed. I have enough clothing on that which police was it that was sending out notes to remind the town citizens to wear pants when they got their mail?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Did you say get dressed or dress up, Brita? Because my mind
get dressed.
In
clothes, you know, not pajama clothes. You know,
sometimes.
Well, again, I wear sweatpants to bed, so I guess I'm wearing my pajamas all day, or I wear my, you know, my clothes to bed. So however you want to look at that. Mm. But no, I don't bother. And then, you know, because like usually for lunch, I'll go for a walk and then I'll.
In the same sweatpants?
No. I change into shorts.
Okay.
Yeah, no, sweatpants are only for in the house. I'm a firm believer that grown ass men should not wear sweatpants in public.
Thank you.
So you are correct, sir. You know, it's like no, if I'm out of the house, I'm wearing something with a belt for a reason. But and I go for a walk to get my steps and my stairs in. Oh, it's not stairs, it's elevation, but. And then I'll hit the treadmill later because I started running, or not started running, but I had been running. The problem is everybody is home and people are complete and utter fucking morons when it comes to being outside. There's sidewalks on both sides of the street in pretty much every direction from my house. And
right.
I'm sorry. But if there's sidewalks on both sides of the street, you walk with traffic. Plain and simple.
Yes.
This is not difficult. You have, if there are sidewalks on both sides of the street, if traffic is going east, you walk heading east on the sidewalk. It's not hard. People don't get this. Okay. All right. I'm like, fine, because maybe you came from a place where there weren't sidewalks. So you walk facing traffic, which makes sense. If there's no sidewalks, you want to see what's coming. I get that. Okay. But when you're walking towards me and you can see me running from conservatively a quarter of a mile away and you continue to walk shoulder to shoulder with the person you're walking with until I get within 10 feet of you, I'm going to cough on you just for spite because you're being a dickhead.
Well, these are the same people who stand in doorways as you're trying to get by.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the same people.
Or in the middle. They will, yeah. Or, you know, whatever.
Yes. Ugh. They will stand, not in the middle. They will have their carriage on one side, and they will hold it, and they will stand on the other side, blocking the entire aisle. People do this walking their dogs. Their dog will be on one side of the grass, and they will stretch the leash across the entire fucking sidewalk and stand on the grass on the other side, making a lovely little tripwire for me who's trying to jog down the road. So I both cough and crop dust them just because. Needless to say, I've been spending a lot of time on my treadmill because fuck people.
At least people in your neighborhood use your sidewalks. Whenever we see somebody on the sidewalk here, we're like, oh, they must be new.
Yeah.
Because for some reason in downtown Willoughby, we have sidewalks, lovely sidewalks. Nobody uses them. Everybody walks in the street. It's bizarre.
I don't get that. I mean, I know.
I don't either.
I get it.
They do that.
I understand.
They do that in India?
I don't know.
Why people,
women will even push their baby carriages in the street, which makes me insane. But
I can tell you why.
I have tell me why. Okay.
Because you live somewhere where the snow lasts forever.
True.
They plow the streets.
But
they don't plow the sidewalks.
Yeah, but it's like people do this when there's no snow.
Yeah, but they walk in the street for 9-10 months out of the year because of the snow.
So they like the freedom of the street. Like right. They have room to roam out there.
They're just, you know, it's what they're used to doing. And so for the couple of months or the few nice days where they could theoretically walk on the sidewalk. A
few nice days.
They've not ever done it. So they, you know, why constrain yourself now?
I'm laughing about this, but it snowed the day before yesterday here.
See, I'm telling you.
That's so, global warming right there. See, Greta was right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to her?
Whatever happened to her? Coronavirus knocked her right off the front page. Poor Greta.
I bet you she's crying in her $1 million.
She's got, but you know, on the plus side, she's got her childhood back. It's just filled with coronavirus.
That's great. Well, you know.
She can't go out and play.
You couldn't go out anyway. See?
Oh,
of course, there's all, you know, they're starting to make that like, oh, look, you know, ooh, with all the people staying indoors, the pollution, you know, they're all but coming out and saying, ooh, this pandemic, this virus killing thousands is good. Go ahead. Go run with that. Lead with that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, there's still a good number of people who are like, oh, we need to stay on quarantine until they come up with a vaccine. And I'm like, well, at that point, let's just all die.
You know, because that a lot of that's because, you know, they did this unemployment thing where you get the regular unemployment and then you get an additional $600 a week.
You know what's really going to suck is next year when all of those people fill out their taxes and they're thinking, I'm going to get, you know, X number of dollars back. And instead they owe because they got all this extra income that they didn't pay taxes on. It is going to fuck a shit ton of people.
Yeah, but so for instance, I was reading an article about a restaurateur who got one of those loans.
Yep.
So they can pay their employees. And their employees are like, fuck you, unemployment is more.
Yeah.
It is for about 3 weeks, and then the money runs out, and yeah, but these you don't people, have a job.
These are people that can't think past tomorrow. I mean, come on.
Yep. And you know, that's great for the, you know, 2 to 3 weeks that you'll get that extra money. Yes, you will actually make more money on unemployment. And then the money stops. And you go back to regular unemployment, which is like a third of what you make, or two thirds, I'm sorry. And, oh, shit, I can't afford my rent and stuff. Oh, maybe I can go back to work. Oh, the business closed. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also,
starting to realize that
in the case of,
as
in the case of states, unemployment is finite. You know, states can't print money to fund unemployment. So that's paid for out of taxes on business, right? I mean, you know, businesses pay for that one way or another. So, you know, that money comes from somewhere, and it's not infinite. So if you, all you, you know, people, I mean, you know, it sucks. I mean, understand, if I've lost my job, I've been laid off many times over the years, and it always sucks. And, you know, but you know, those people thinking they're going to sit around and banking $1,000 a week for the next year or two.
That's you will be lucky to make it 1 month with that. Lucky. Yeah. I mean, there's 26 million people out of work. If every single one of them gets an extra $600 a week, do the fucking math. Yeah. It ain't happening.
Yeah. Well, that's why that whole, you know, universal basic income is never going to happen, because that money doesn't exist.
Right.
And you know, it just doesn't. You can hope and all that all you want, and it ain't going to happen.
You rapidly reach that point where you run out of people to tax to pay for it.
Yep.
Which is what they're starting to run into now with all these cities that have all these lucrative pensions. And they're like, oh, shit, we had so many businesses go out of business. Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. As long as we're okay. There's not like rampaging Huns running through your neighborhood or anything.
No.
Is it zombies? Please tell me it's zombies.
It's actually something I just posted on the Squirrel Report page for the enjoyment of everyone.
It's the worst apocalypse ever.
I am so pissed off. I cannot tell you how pissed off I am.
You know, I just, with the zombie thing, I keep thinking, like, all these people have died from the coronavirus. Is everybody making sure they stay dead? Because
just making sure. I don't know. We keep seeing these things where they change the counts, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, the death toll this week is -4.
Oh,
like, wait a minute. You gained people?
I just had a thought.
Oh.
They're cremating people like crazy in China.
They always do that. That's how the Chinese roll.
Yeah,
I know, but, you know, maybe they know something.
they know that they have a lot of dead people and not enough room to put them.
That's true, man. It's like the worst virus apocalypse ever. You know, it's like, oh, that brings me up a point I wanted to make, since we're talking about apocalypse.
Yes, apocalypse.
What's the plural of apocalypse?
Apocalypses.
Apocalypse. Apocalypse.
You know,
Mucho Apocalypso.
It's
apocalypses. Apocalypses.
Apocalypses.
Apocalypses.
Apocalypses. So
yes,
you know, we three are not preppers in the traditional sense. You know, we don't have the compound in the woods and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think we also are people that have, you know, if at the start of this thing, it looked like it might be a situation where you literally couldn't leave the house and go to the grocery store for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'd all be okay if that happened.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be happy, but we'd be okay.
No. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You got a freezer. You got a freezer.
Yeah, I have a freezer full of food.
You'd be okay. Like I said, you wouldn't be happy, but you'd be okay.
Yeah. Right. You'd be missing some things, but you wouldn't die of scurvy in a month.
Exactly.
So.
But that's pretty normal. I mean, that's kind of how it should be. You know, I mean, they always tell you, you know, when you're you know, have some money in the bank, be, so you can live on, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you know, I live somewhere where the power routinely goes off for, you know, half a day or more, and you know, so you have to deal with that. But there's, it gets back to that whole, you know, every once in a while you read the statistic and say, you know, half the population doesn't have, you know, couldn't put their hands on $500 if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And then they come out with statistics that are like, you know, where they say that, you know, one of the reasons that there's so little food in the grocery stores is because nobody's going to restaurants anymore. And to me, going to a restaurant is a pretty rare thing. But apparently there are people that eat every fucking meal.
Yeah.
Out of the house.
Yep. Or at least one meal a day.
Yeah. And,
you know, just, at the very least, I'm like, I wish I could afford to blow that kind of money. You know, I wish I could afford to eat out once a day, let alone every meal once a day.
Just, you know, when I used to have to go into work, I took my lunch with me, because the idea of spending, you know, $10 on lunch was just abhorrent. So anyway, I just wonder if anything, if this event, you know, like your grandparents, right, that lived through the Depression, you know.
Thanks.
Yep.
Everybody's got the grandparents that lived through the Depression, or the parents, if you're older. Okay. You got some relative, right?
Or now it's great grandparents.
Right. But they had habits. They have habits that they kept through their life because of that experience. They're the ones that have the jars and jars and jars of nuts and bolts and hardware in the garage. They have drawers full of random crap that they save. They save aluminum foil. They save rubber bands. They save rubber bands. They save twist ties off the bread bag. They save, you know, all this stuff. And it's just a habit from those Depression years of, you know, not wasting anything. And I'm wondering if we're going to see something similar out of this generation.
No. I do not think so.
Where people are like, well, shit, maybe I ought to, you know, have a little bit of store of food or something. You don't think so?
Nope.
I wish I shared your optimism, Alan, but I don't know
if I'm optimistic. I'm just wondering if it's going to happen.
Nope.
I just don't. You know, I mean, the simple phenomenon of the quote tiny house tells me that no, it won't ever do that. You know, because I'm looking at the tiny house when they were the big rage, you know, what was it? I don't know, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at these things. I'm like, first of all, it's smaller than and more expensive than a travel trailer.
Right.
And two, you have no storage. You are literally going to the store for food every day, maybe every other day at best. So if you're the tiny house person, you are fucked.
Or
right
the
now.
Or the 500 square foot Manhattan apartment person.
Yes. Yeah. The New York City studio apartment. Although, to be fair, they're all dead, so you know, that's not a concern. But you know, the subways are still open because, you know, priorities. That's how,
you know, we've been having
this is.
We've been having a thing here. The city where I live, we have like one of those quaint little downtown areas and full of bars and restaurants, which are currently all closed. And so, you know, there's been this whole big movement of, you know, because we're allowed to get takeout and carry out from these places, from restaurants. There's a big movement of, oh, support your local restaurants so they don't close, and, you know, blah, 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 and carry out. And first of all, frankly, 95% of the restaurants that exist, at least for me, I think restaurant food is disgusting most of the time.
Yep.
Unless you're like unless you're going to like a really fancy restaurant that has like a really good chef, you're just eating crap cooked by some teenager in the back room. You know, it's like, I'm sorry to say that. And I know that people love their restaurants and they love to go to the, whatever, the local place. But I mean, on a certain level, like maybe these places, I mean, I'm sorry. Maybe they really shouldn't exist if they can't, you know, I don't know. The food is disgusting, first of all. And secondly, like you were talking, Jay, the other day, like how the teenager working at Taco Bell has not become suddenly like a sanitary expert. Yes.
Right. You know. My personal favorite is I know I've talked about it before, but the cosplay, you know, the whole look at me, I'm wearing my mask. First of all, if you're alone in your car, why the fuck are you wearing a mask?
Maybe it's like virtue signaling.
That's
now.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but to virtue signal that the local fast food joint isn't sanitizing the bags they're handing your food in.
Oof,
I'm like,
yeah,
that is about the least thing you need to worry about when you're going to get, Taco Bell. There's a 17-year-old kid who probably hasn't washed his hands in a week making your food. And you're concerned they didn't wipe your bag down with a Clorox wipe.
Right.
I'm going to suggest if you were really concerned about contamination, you wouldn't be eating Taco Bell. I'm going to put that out there.
There's a reason the bathroom has the sign on it that says all employees must wash their hands. And you know how well
you
people
need to
follow
remind
signs,
people.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. But, you know, Alan, you're asking, like, are people going to, you know, start having stores of food? Are people going to? Okay, number one, driving around my town, I see people lined up out the drive-through of McDonald's, of Chick-fil-A, of, you know, all these takeout restaurants. I don't know how the regular restaurants are doing in downtown Willoughby. I am assuming that everybody's doing, you know, takeaway from those places as well. And then on top of that, I see so many, it's unbelievable. I see videos on YouTube and on Facebook teaching people how to cook simple recipes like scrambled eggs and grilled cheese. Like, people don't know how to cook. People don't have these skills anymore. It's like, if your mother never taught you how to make scrambled eggs, like, seriously, Darwin.
I make awesome scrambled eggs.
You do. Your scrambled eggs are the best scrambled eggs I've ever had in my life.
I can do scrambled eggs. I can do omelets. You know, my breakfast repertoire is limited. I'm not going to lie, but that's because I'm not a real breakfast person. I've never been a breakfast person.
But, you know, if people are learning how to make a grilled cheese, really?
Yeah, I can make a grilled cheese on a friggin' car radiator, for crying out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this sort of like skill set that people just don't have anymore. So the idea that suddenly like this generation is going to start thinking, oh, I need to be a prepper and I need to put food away and I need to start learning how to can food. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well, I just liked how it went from, you know, you were a prepper to you're hoarding. You're hoarding. Like,
yeah,
like
I think,
overnight.
Yeah, I think there's a difference though between a prepper and a hoarder, right?
Oh yeah. Well, there definitely is, but it wasn't used in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
I think prepping versus hoarding is like short term versus long term.
Right.
Like,
well, and it's like the Karen with the grocery cart with 19 multi packs of toilet paper. That's what they mean by hoarding. But then if you're a person that has a couple of the bulk packs of toilet paper and a couple bulk packs of paper towels squirreled away somewhere safe in your basement, they're like, oh, you're hoarding this stuff. I'm like, no, I buy it when it goes on sale because it's paper goods and it doesn't go bad.
Right.
And if it's on sale, you're foolish not to buy it when it is when it's cheap.
Yeah. It's like, you know, when the light bulbs went, when we knew that the light bulbs were not going to be made anymore. Right. Every time we went to BJ's, every time we would pick up light bulbs. And it was like we would pick up maybe two boxes.
Yeah.
But we have light bulbs for life now.
A 22 long rifle.
Yeah.
When it disappeared from shelves, I made a practice. When it was cheap, when it was $9 for a brick, every time I went into Walmart, I would buy two bricks. Less than 20 yeah. bucks and just squirrel it away.
But that's right. That's important to do, though. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. The time the time for doing that is when it's not a crisis.
Exactly.
You don't want to be waiting till the shelves are empty of toilet paper to go, oh, shit, I should have bought toilet paper.
Right.
You know.
However, did you anticipate with this coronavirus that toilet paper would be the thing?
Yeah, no.
No.
I didn't.
That is an exceptionally good point.
Hand sanitizer, I can see. Like, masks, I can see. Lysol, okay. But toilet paper?
The only thing I can think of is that people conflated coronavirus with norovirus. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Know.
Is that they got the two confused. And they're like, oh, that's the one that gives you the shits. I should probably get more toilet paper.
Well, you know, based on what happens with hurricanes is the bread and milk disappear.
Right.
Yes, the French toast phenomenon.
Right.
Brita, you live in an area that gets snow. You know the French toast phenomenon.
We do, yeah.
So the bread, kind of. The bread
Everybody,
milk, and the
quick.
Eggs disappear.
Bread, right. milk, and eggs. You can make all the French toast you've ever wanted.
And I noticed yesterday, we went to the grocery store yesterday. What a trip that was. I had been to grocery shopping like when this whole lockdown thing started, and it was like the first few days, and it was like I went to Walmart or something, and I thought, well, okay, I'll just grab some cans of beans because I don't know how many beans I have in the basement already. I'll just, you know, and I went to the canned goods, and there were no canned goods.
Yep.
I mean, like none.
Welcome
and this
to
is like
socialism.
This is like canned goods, like canned beets. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, who the fuck is eating canned beets? Like, are you just, are you new to beets? Because, like, good luck with you, you know. But, talk about toilet paper. But, but, like, all the canned goods were gone. I'm like, where were these people, like, before this? Like, you weren't eating canned goods before. But yesterday, I went to the grocery store, and this is, what, a month out, right? A little over a month, and all the canned goods were restocked.
Yeah.
So everybody apparently has phased through the canned goods stage of prepping, hoarding, whatever. So, you know, beans are still a little, but everything else was fine, normal.
Yeah, HEB had toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, we got hand sanitizer the other day.
So,
yeah,
you know.
I can stop stealing it from work.
And they weren't using it anyway.
No, it's just sitting there.
The next panic thing, of course, is the media. They're flapping their the biggest pork processing plant in the country shut down. There's going to be meat shortages.
Yeah.
I wish reporters would take a math class.
Alan, that's crazy talk.
I know, but, you know, the largest pork processing plant in the country does like 2% of the pork processing. I mean, yeah, okay. You know, not a crisis.
Well, it's because they get so used to framing things in the wealthiest 1%. See, the largest pork processing, that's obviously the only one there is in existence.
I guess.
Because much like the wealthiest 1%, you see, if they have something, nobody else on the planet can possibly have it. It's a zero-sum game, Alan. If they're the biggest, then it means all the other ones are the plucky underdogs. Not that there aren't a shit ton of pork processing places, because there's a fucking million pigs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it's just, you know, this inability to math is just really irritating.
It has never been on more clear display.
Yeah. You know, the whole
I was just going to say, it's never so much as the whole, you know, we're still seeing a 7% mortality rate. No, you're not. I know you're not.
Yeah.
Because 7% would be on the order, it would be approaching the Black Death. We would be pushing bodies into mass graves with bulldozers if we were seeing a 7%.
Yeah, if it was 7%, we'd have 400,000 people dead instead of 40.
Right. A minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, New York City would be literally decimated, if not worse.
Well, 7% is almost a decimation.
You know, it's just that people are horrifically bad at math. And, you know, it's when all said and done, you know, some of it is, I don't think all of it, I don't even think a majority of it is done maliciously. I think it's just that it's a combination of, it's a ratings thing, and it's nobody wants to be wrong, which I kind of get. You don't want to be the one guy that was like, you know what, this really isn't all that bad, and then be wrong. Because quite frankly, there's not going to be any repercussions for the you know, for Governor Northam. Oh, we're just going to shut the state till June 10th. What? We're going to shut the state down. You're not going to be able to go back to work for 2 solid months. There's not going to be any repercussions for that. But if you're the one who's like, you know what? I think we just kind of do smart things. We shut down the big public venues. You know, maybe we don't have the giant football games. Okay. If you're sick, stay home. If you're at risk, stay home. But other than that, everyone, business as usual.
There are already companies that are going, fuck you, I'm opening.
Yeah.
Small businesses all over the country.
They're realizing that these orders aren't orders. They're more requests.
Right. Well, the judge, the county judge in Harris County, which is the county that Houston is in, the county judge said, oh, yeah, she's that woman that rode in on Beto's coattails in Houston.
Is this the one that was like, masks are mandatory, oh, yeah, and the police departments are like, oh, fuck you, no,
that's,
they're not.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened. So she issued an order that said, you know, everybody must if you leave your house, you must wear a mask. Unless you're like exercising or eating or drinking, and
walk briskly and say you're exercising.
And not only that, but if you know you could be fined $1,000 or put in jail for 180 days for violating her order. This is the same woman who is releasing violent criminals from jail because virus.
Yes, we don't want people in. It shouldn't be a death sentence.
Right. So like before she even issued the order, the local like the fraternal order police, whatever they were basically, they issued a statement that says, this is bullshit. We're not going to arrest anybody. We're not going to pay any attention to this whatsoever. In fact, the city of Houston, which if you look at the boundary of the city of Houston and the boundary of Harris County, there's damn little of Harris County that's not inside the city of Houston. So the county has really no authority inside the city limits because you know, home rule laws and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, the county has no jurisdiction over the city. And basically the mayor had been all ready to be all in with this and also order masks and $1,000 fine and all this until he saw the pushback and he was like, yeah, we're not doing that. So the Houston police, the Harris County Sheriff and the Houston mayor are like, we're not on board with this at all.
Was it Jackie Gleason? You and what troop of Boy Scouts?
Yeah. And then you got what's her name up there in Michigan?
Oh, Whitmer, as I like to call her. She's Governor Umbridge.
Who's like, oh, you don't like this shutdown? Well, we'll do it for another month. See how you like that. Like, what? And now, apparently, the Senate, the state Senate, met today in special session to start an investigation and try to get a law passed to repeal her authority to be able to do stuff like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's bad. Or like the city, what was it, in L.A., Los Angeles, where they brought in sand and filled in put sand in an outdoor skate park so the kids couldn't go skateboarding. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's terrible.
If you're outside and you're skateboarding in the fresh air and sunshine in Southern California, you are not catching a virus. I'm sorry. You're just not.
They arrested a dude who was paddleboarding.
Yeah.
He's out in the ocean by himself with not another human for miles. Yeah. And they're like, oh no, you violated the order. You must be arrested. Yeah. Like,
it's these little petty tyrants have just gone, you know, it's like they've been waiting their whole lives to be able to order people around arbitrarily.
All I can hear is Eric Cartman from South Park. Respect my authority. That's all it is. It's,
well, they're starting to get pushback, and they're getting, you know, a lot of pushback. And I love these questions at the press conferences about where they're asking Trump, where they're like, well, don't you think it's irresponsible for these people to be protesting they're protesting the stay at home order. And, you know, Trump's like, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do. People are sick and tired of staying at home. And, you know, I want to grab them by their lapel and say, they're not protesting the stay at home order, you moron.
Right.
Protesting the other idiocy, like, you know, I can't go from one house that I own to another house that I own in my own car, you know, or I can't, you know, buy seeds at the store to plant a garden, or, you know, just the idiocy. That's what people are protesting. I can't,
the guy,
you know, I can't open, I can't go into my business
to his wife.
Right. It's crazy.
He was out in public sitting next to or the one who was playing t-ball with his daughter in the park.
Right.
And they literally arrested the dude in front of his daughter.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Like you said, at the same time, they're releasing all the prisoners. Yeah. They're releasing all the prisoners, and the cops are saying, yeah, we're not responding to anything that's not a violent crime with, you know, imminent death.
Well, so, fortunately, you know, in Texas, we're done with this shit.
Well, you're going to see, you know, hundreds of thousands dropping dead every day now, Alan.
No. My barbershop announced, we're open in May 1st, no matter what anybody says.
I confess I gave myself a quarantine haircut.
My 25-year streak of not getting haircuts, not paying for haircuts.
Well, your haircut worked out pretty good, Brita.
Yeah, it did. You know, after Mike fixed it for me. I kind of, going into the quarantine, I kind of had like this like pixie mullet type situation where it was like kind of, I don't know, whatever. But the backs started growing and it just became no. And so one day I kind of like was messing around with the scissors and I was kind of trimming stuff and I was like, wait a minute, Mike has some clippers, because Mike he cuts his own hair. He just shaves his head. So, you know, I was like, I'm just gonna like touch up the, you know, maybe cut a little bit, and I watched a couple YouTube videos. I was like, all right, this doesn't look too bad. And it looked fine. But then like a couple days later, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll take a little more off. And then Mike comes home and I was like, you have to help me fix this. He's like, what did you do? But it actually turned out fine. And it's kind of like a, I don't know what it is now, but it's fine. It's not driving me crazy, which is, and I'm not bald and I don't have like a you know, crazy haircut. It's fine.
So,
but I think it definitely, like, once I do get back to the hairdresser, I'm probably like going to end up with a pixie cut because there's nowhere else to go from here but to a pixie cut. So I couldn't resist. Like, it's just hair. It grows back. I'm not like one of those hair people. So,
no, it doesn't. Oh, sorry.
Well,
is that hair
for
privilege?
For most of us, it grows back.
You and your follicular privilege.
Well, you know. There have to be some benefits to the whole monthly thing.
So when is the library opening up again, Brita?
Well, I have had this week, we are starting talks about what is going to happen in the library. And my staff was concerned that it was going to be just like, well, we're open. Good luck, everybody.
Oh, no.
But it's not going to be like that at all. It's going to probably be months long process of opening to the public and dealing with materials, which is kind of like one of the biggest concerns that we have. Where, you know, people returning their stuff. And even before this, people returning their stuff, like the book would be sticky or like the DVD would be like greasy or, you know, it's just disgusting. I mean, people, I'm not exaggerating either. Like, you know, children's books. Yeah, well, that is part of it. And what we've, you know, the library directors are all, you know, talking together and talking to the library associations and everybody's like formulating a plan. Like, what do we do? And so it's going to be, we're going to be opening in phases. And the first phase, we're going to be not open to the public, actually not even dealing with the public at all, because the library has been closed over a month now. And people are still, today, I went to the library today to water the plants. I go once a week to water the plants. And I looked in the book drop and still people are returning books to the book drop. Like, seriously, people, like, it's been a month. And the only thing I can think is people are like bored at home, cleaning their houses and discovering, oh shit, I have this library book.
Yeah.
You know, for the past 3 years, and they're deciding that now is the time to return it. But so we not only have to deal with the public, but we also have to deal with the materials that they return that are pretty gross anyway, you know. And so phase one will be, you know, we'll have crews of staff, and we're going to do it like in crews so that, and only this crew will work together. And there will be a second crew. And that way, like, if somebody gets sick on a crew, only that crew needs to be quarantined instead of the whole staff, you know. And we're going to have limited hours, and we're going to have, you know. And that is just to prepare the library and all of us to start curbside service and over-the-phone reference, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And still not being open to the public. And then somewhere down the road, we have no timeline for this, is like phase three, where we actually open up to the public, and we don't even know what that's going to look like. Are we going to have to limit the amount of patrons? How are we going to socially distance people? You know, how are we going to manage like cleaning surfaces because everybody touches everything? And I don't know. I'm glad I'm not a children's librarian, but because that's gross anyway. it's just, there is a lot, and we're all going to be masked all the time, and hand sanitizer and wearing gloves to deal with materials. And we are actually going to have to quarantine materials. So when books get returned to the book drop, then those books will be set on a table with the date, and then we quarantine those books for 3 days, I think, and then we move it to the next phase where we wipe them all down with disinfectant and then let them dry and check them back into the system. So there's a lot, you know, involved. And then that's not even dealing with patrons. Like, I don't even know. Oh, and the computer thing, the library computers, which...
Well, those things are gross any day.
Just burn them all and start over. Yeah. You know, and
write them off as a loss. People
sitting next to each other, and oh my god, they're just gross. Like one of my nightmares is that if somebody takes one of those keyboards and turns it upside down,
or take a black light to it,
what would? Oh my god, ugh. So, ugh, ugh. Yeah. So there's not even a plan formulated for computers yet because it's such a huge issue of how do you deal with that. And like a huge part of my job was helping people do computer stuff. So how do I do that from 6 feet away?
Get you one of them long grabby sticks.
I was just going to say that.
I'm not getting a grabby stick.
Poke, no. poke.
No, nobody wants to give me a long stick.
I'm just imagining the one hobo per every six square feet rule in the library.
You know,
you're going to be like,
I got a text message from one of my staff this week. And her friend lives across the football field from the library, okay, and can see the library from her house. And there was a hobo living outside the library, like tucked up in one of the back corners of the library. So we had to call the police. The library's not even open. I'm still dealing with the hobos.
You know, you were talking about getting, you know, spending weeks getting their library prepared. And, you know, in my brain, I get this image of the librarians out with shovels digging trenches and
setting concertina wire.
And, you know, concrete barriers and pillboxes and, you know, machine gun positions.
I wish. Kind
of. They got a bunch of Lewis guns in every corner.
The thing that I didn't take into consideration. Why do I always have to talk over you guys? I don't know. Was that all of this opening depends on the availability of materials safety materials. Like we have a maintenance guy, and one of the things they want to do in the library is to install those plexiglass things like they have at grocery stores now between us and the patrons at our desks. And the maintenance man, he's like, oh yeah. Like he does everything. He's, you know, handyman guy. He's like, oh yeah, I can build those, no problem, but I can't get plexiglass.
Yeah.
And we can't get masks. Okay. So, because I'm sewing masks now, the library director said, well, can you sew masks for the staff? And I said, well, I could, but I was at Walmart the other day and there's no fabric. So, you know, so much depends on the availability of safety materials. So there's really no timeline, really, you know, for opening to the public. I don't know what library is going to look like. You know, in the future, I don't know how it's going to work. But one good thing is that our library consortium is not going to be sharing materials. So if somebody from our library wants a book, it has to be from our physical library.
So you won't have to do the send list?
There's going to be no send list. There's going to be no like transferring books between branches or libraries in the consortium. Nice. And, but I mean, that means that, you know, our material will start to circulate more than it has been because, you know, that's all people, you know, that's all you got. If that's all you have, then use the books that you have. And I kind of think that's great in a way. I don't know. Silver lining?
Could be.
Yeah.
And
but it's, I don't know. Again, I have no idea. Like, it's going to be a whole new world. You know, I don't know what it's going to look like.
What about the damn kids?
The kids are...
Damn teenagers.
Yeah, the kids, we're working on getting a, you know, a what is it? Thing in place where we're not allowing any unsupervised children, because how can children don't want to socially distance, you know, they don't do that. Right. And so we're not going to allow unsupervised children in the library. So
a good idea any day of the week.
Yeah. You know, I'm in favor of it. So, but it's been weird. It's been a weird time. Yeah. Dealing with the public. And I see the people who work at grocery stores and I think, well, they're dealing with the public. Like, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah.
There isn't any really.
I talked to my daughter works at a grocery store and I asked her about this all the time because they're constantly evolving, you know, over the last few weeks, they've been evolving, you know, how they deal with the public and
right. Stuff
like that. And, you know, they've got the plexiglass barriers and they've got the, mm-hmm. you know, they got everybody wearing masks and they got the stickers on the floor to show people how far apart to stand and all that kind of
right. Stuff.
And, you know, I think in a lot of ways in that sort of environment, they're actually better off than you're going to be at the library because they don't have to interact with people like you do. You know what I mean? I mean, people put their stuff on the conveyor belt. It runs past the cashier. They scan the stuff. Somebody bags the stuff. They put it in the cart. And there's, you know, there's minimal direct interaction. But when you got somebody coming in, I mean, I know a little bit about what you do because I've seen you do it. And
right. People
come in, they hover over your desk, they walk behind you, they stand over you, they breathe on you. You got the people
yeah.
on the computers. It's just, you know, it's like.
Yeah, it's very, yeah.
Plus, they stay there all
day. I said to the library director, well, yeah, some of them do. And I said to the library director yesterday, I said, when this whole thing first started, before the library closed and I was still working, I began to notice how often complete strangers, patrons, touched me. Like, would grab my hand or hand on me. And it was like, usually, like, you know, I'd go over and help them on the computer and they couldn't figure something out and I helped them do it and they were happy to be able to do it. And they would like put their hand on me and be like, oh, thank you so much. Like, and people like all the time, all the damn time touching me. So, you know, that's the proximity I was with patrons, like just right there, shoulder to shoulder with people. And so I don't know. I'm going to help people anymore.
I wonder if you can find one of those biohazard suits.
But here's a thing. A lot of library directors are thinking of buying like baby gates to put like at like desks so that patrons don't feel they can come behind the desk.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And this is like, no, this is like my dream come true. Because yeah. for years I've been complaining about that dude who walks behind my desk to get the newspaper. Mr. Jones.
Wouldn't it be cheaper to just give you tasers? I'm just saying. Or maybe not tasers, but stun guns.
Cattle prod.
Yeah. Where you touch someone and it zaps and you just zap.
Oh, like those bug.
Yes.
You know those fly swatter things?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yes.
They look like kind of like little bitty like tennis rackets and you hit the fly and it zaps a fly, which I can never resist touching those damn things. how bad does this hurt? It hurts.
Ow. Yes.
It's like that's like the first time you pee on an electric fence. I mean, it's just, you know.
That must be a Texas
never
thing.
Never do that again.
I can't say that I have.
Well, if you lived anywhere around one, if you lived anywhere around one, you'd have done it. At some point,
I think it'd be hard for a girl to do.
No, I'm just saying,
okay.
If you're a guy,
I was about to say,
if you're a guy and you live anywhere near it, anywhere that has an electric fence, you've probably done it at least once.
This has got to be like the cattle country equivalent of writing your name in the snow.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Except more dangerous.
Well, yeah.
There's usually drinking involved. And you stumble out behind the barn to take a whiz and shit, you forget they got the wire there for the electric fence and just
I'll quit it. That's it. I think cattle prod is the way to go, Brita. Just keep a couple cattle prods behind the desk.
Because there's a distance, you know.
A six-foot pole.
Exactly.
There you go.
They've got to make cattle prods that are 6 foot. A cattle pike.
A cattle pike.
Oh. Zap. If I can zap you, you're too close. There you go. If you get too close, it's your own fault.
That's almost as good as heads on pikes.
Just have like a little tape section, you know, a yellow line painted on the ground.
Like Les Nessman.
Or I was thinking TSA, you know, stand behind the yellow line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you move ahead of the yellow line, you'll be tased. Not you could be, you will be. In fact, there will probably be a mass exodus of librarians trying to tase you just to watch you dance. Zap, 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 zap. Sucker. Zap, zap. He's back behind the line. Zap, zap. Oops. Ah, yes. All these things we're going to do someday when they let us out of quarantine.
Yeah, I've already.
I've been noticing that a lot of people are kind of around, at least around here, kind of are like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting to. A lot of the Jeep Club people are like, we're going to the beach. I swear to God, the beaches this weekend are going to be crawling with people. Because everybody's so sick and tired of being in their house.
Well, that's the part that's like mind-boggling. You're out in the sun.
Yeah.
Direct sun in very hot weather.
Yep.
This is exactly the kind of situation where these things cannot exist.
Right.
It's the whole reason that there is a cold and flu season, is that it is finally cold and dark enough for them to live on surfaces long enough to transmit from person to person.
Right.
What is it? The half-life of the virus on a hard surface in the sun in Florida is like negative. It's literally negative.
Yeah.
As soon as it touches that surface, it's gone.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's crazy that they're reopening the beaches in Florida. Well, the virus can't survive, but it survives in people. Yes. If an infected person goes to the beach, they will still have the coronavirus. What they won't do is cough on a railing or a door handle or anything and transmit it to someone else. Because as soon as it lands on that surface, it cannot survive.
I bet if it was in sunlight, it would die before it even hit whatever it was going to hit.
If it's hot, sunny, and humid enough, that is absolutely true. If they coughed on you.
Yeah.
There would be a less than 100% chance you would get it.
Well, yeah, because, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, less than. You would stand a good chance of not getting infected because that's how these things are. Basic biology does not change because you're afraid.
Oh, yes, it does.
Well, I think a lot of people obviously don't understand how viruses work, but also I think there has been this kind of in the media, like this is a super magical, you know, wily virus that like jumps off of people and can get you and like, you know, it's everywhere and anything you touch and it really is not. So,
yeah,
it's also political.
Well, everything is.
Yeah.
You know, you had the press hyping the hell out of it one way, and now they're hyping the hell out of it another way, and now it's just like, I'm just sick of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Let's get on to the next crisis, all right, folks?
Yeah.
You know, open everything back. Open everything back up. Forget that this ever happened and get on to whatever the next outrage is.
Yeah, I'm done.
And okay.
Speaking of done.
We're done.
Speaking of done.
It's been an hour.
Yep.
was going to say, I've only got 58 minutes, but then I had to jump off and back on.
Back on. We're actually 5 minutes over at this point. So,
well, everybody got their money's worth today.
That's right.
You're getting bonus coronacation time.
Your Corona special.
Yep. But we'll be back next week.
Okay.
Provided we don't get the Rona, we'll be back.
We won't. Okay.
We will desperately try to find something else besides the virus to talk about.
Yes, we will talk about something other than the Rona.
Yeah.
Actually, next week will be May Day. We could talk about commies.
Oh, all right. That's always fun.
Excellent.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Good comments.
Okay.
All right. Night, y'all.
Good night.